Hey, please be seated. Turn to chapter 20 in the Gospel of John, please. The great reason we would teach God's Word is so that people would receive it, understand it, and then walk out on it, believe it, and have it manifested in their life. So isn't it wonderful to hear stories about how God's Word has touched people's hearts in many ways and has blessed them in so many ways? So it's always great to hear stories of people being blessed by God in all their unique different ways. We're going to look at a record here in the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verse 11. And we're going to look at part of this verse. And what I'd like for you to do, in spite of being here in Point Loma Assembly, the group of people, I'd like for you in your mind to picture and put yourself where this event is occurring as recorded here in chapter 20, verse 11. But Mary stood without at the sepulcher weeping. Here was Mary Magdalene, and she was weeping. What would you think if you were in a place, you're walking in the garden, this particular garden, here's this woman, she's crying, she's upset. It's kind of early in the morning. It's actually Sunday morning at this particular time. And here she is crying. She's upset. And so I want you to put yourself there at the scene. And of course, if we read the previous verses, we will see that she had originally went there to check on the Lord Jesus Christ because he was buried there. And she expected that he would still be there. But he wasn't there. And they got all excited about, well, who took his body? Where is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? And she went and got some of the disciples, and they came there, and they looked around, no, not to be found. And they left, and she was there crying, upset. Here was a young woman dedicated to a man who said he was the Son of God, that he was the Messiah to come to save the world. All the hopes and dreams that had built up in her heart about the living Messiah seemed to have vanquished. It seemed to have gone. Someone had taken her Lord and Savior's body, and at this point in her life, all seemed hopeless. But all was not lost. The promises of God, even though forgotten by all people at that point, still come to pass in all the power and richness that God has declared in His Word in so many places. You see, this event, what was transpiring here, some events occurred earlier that perhaps they should have known about. They were taught, but they had forgotten. And some 12 hours earlier, on a Saturday afternoon, probably around 6 p.m., an event occurred and a power was exhibited that so drastically changed mankind, its dynamic repercussions are still being felt today. That event was the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. As far as the well-being of mankind is concerned, there's no greater event that has ever happened, except probably the day of Pentecost that came some days later, that has more significance to benefit mankind than the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, man has seen great power exhibited. We've seen pictures. I don't think you were there when the atomic bomb went off. I hope you weren't. But you've seen the pictures of the atomic bomb going off. What great power exhibited. You know, we've read about and seen pictures also of geological movements of the earth. We've learned about awesome power of exploding stars, supernovas, black holes, swallowing up all galaxies in the universe. Great power exhibited. And yet, the power of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, what it took, that power that it took to raise the Lord Jesus Christ and its significance to mankind stands par excellence above all other power that ever has been witnessed or not witnessed in this world of ours. And yet, when this power, the resurrection, when God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, nobody saw it. Nobody was there. It occurred some Saturday afternoon, late afternoon. Nobody was there. There was no parade. There was no witnesses. No CNN reporters. Nobody was there to witness the great resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, put yourself at that time, Saturday afternoon, when the stone was rolled away from the gravesite of the Lord Jesus Christ, and there arose Jesus Christ in a new body. You know, it was good that nobody else was there, I think, because God was there, and Jesus Christ was there in his new resurrected body. How do you think God felt to be there to see his son raise up with his new body? The Father and the Son. Would have been neat to be there and seeing that. God was probably beaming. Jesus Christ comes out smiling, blessed, happy, thankful. God had witnessed his only begotten Son walk the perfect walk, do what he told him to do, give his life, die, submit himself to such an ugly death, lay in the grave 3 days and three nights. And here, he was raised from the dead. God raised him from the dead. The great power of the resurrection has no equal and never will have any equal. And you and I are going to take a look at some things in God's Word in light of the power of the resurrection. And see the significance not only in what it made available for the new birth realities for mankind to enjoy, but that power that we can have resident within us as born again ones. Pretty neat. 1 Peter chapter 1. We're going to come back to John. So don't leave a finger or something in there. And we'll come back to chapter 20. In the Gospel of John, but please go to 1 Peter chapter 1. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Blessed is, that means happy, happy. Happy was God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope. This is the new birth, being born again. Unto a lively hope by what? The resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. The new birth realities that mankind can witness and have a part of their life today is a result of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. God is blessed that there is this wonderful new birth. And look at verse 4. It says, "To an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept or guarded by the power of God through faith or through believing unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." That last time when Christ comes back. Man, oh man, there's nothing greater than the new birth realities, being born again of God's Spirit. And here, this is what God did, made available via the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And that new birth gives us an inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away. If you're born again of God's Spirit, you're in the right family. You're into the eternal family of God. It's the greatest reality in the world today. The resurrection is the crux of Christianity. If we believe Romans 10:9, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved or made whole. To be made whole is to be born again of God's Spirit. We confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus. We believe in our heart that God raised him up from the dead. And by doing that, you and I become a part of an illustrious family, the family of God, that Jesus Christ, our big brother, made available, that his heavenly Father made available by raising him from the dead. You know, isn't it amazing when the resurrection occurred that no one really saw it? No one was there. He had told them he was going to do this. Jesus Christ told his disciples 3 days, 3 nights, as Jonah was in the belly of the whale, I'm going to be in the earth and God's going to raise me up. But they had forgotten the scriptures. They had forgotten the scriptures. Let's go back to John chapter 20 and read the rest of this record. And isn't it interesting that some 12 hours after Jesus Christ was raised from the dead by his heavenly Father, the first person to see the resurrected Christ would not be some top religious leader, some big-time priest or pope or anything, but was a simple, wonderful, loving woman who took care of him when he was on earth, and she would be the first to see him alive. And let's take a look at this beautiful record. Mary stood without at the sepulcher weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulcher, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She said unto them, Because thou hast taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus said unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Verse 16, Jesus said unto her, Mary. She turned herself and said unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. She realized it was the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And there he was in his resurrected body. What a wonderful thrill that must have been for her to see him raised from the dead. And all hope now was not lost, but it was a new hope that would be realized on the day of Pentecost with the new birth being made available. I'd like for you to go to 1 Corinthians, if you would. If there's no other scripture in God's Word that declares the importance of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, this has got to be it. 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 13. But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain or empty? And your faith, your believing, is also vain. And this is if Christ not be risen. Yea, And we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he's raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. If there's no resurrection, and we're preaching all of this, then heck, you know, we're false witnesses. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your believing, your faith is vain, it's empty, ye are yet in your sins. That's not good. Not at all. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. They have no hope. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable if Christ has not been raised from the dead. Verse 20. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. Jesus Christ has been raised from the dead. He truly has been raised from the dead. And it is that requirement for the new birth, to believe that God did raise him from the dead. You know, Christianity is not a religion. I know some people will say that. Christianity is not a religion, it's a relationship. Christianity is about a relationship that God started. Religion is man endeavoring to find God somewhere, be it in sticks and stones or in the skies or stars, trying to find God and have rules and regulations by which they can be good before him. But Christianity is God finding man and making available his Son to pay the price so that he could have a loving relationship with him. God started it. God so loved that he gave. He gave his only begotten Son. So Christianity is a wonderful relationship that God instituted, the creator of the heavens and the earth, so that he could have a wonderful relationship with you and I. Our heart's desire now should be to learn and grow in this wonderful relationship. What is this relationship? What is it all about? How much does God love me? What has he made available? What has he given to me? Who am I as a born-again one? Well, let's go to Philippians chapter 3. What do we have as sons of God, realizing that it's God and Christ in us? And we have within us the power of the resurrection. We're going to see this in God's Word. In chapter 3, verse 8. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, but do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found not in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith, or the believing concerning Christ, the righteousness which is of God by believing. That I may know, him and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable unto his death. So that we could know him and the power of his resurrection. What was that power that, so that when exercised, it would raise him up from the dead? The fellowship of his sufferings. That we could fully identify with Jesus Christ to the extent that we died with him, we were crucified with him, we died with him, we were buried with him, we were raised with him. What is that? Well, this is the great endeavor that all Christians should have. They should count all things lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus our Lord, so that they can know this wonderful power of his resurrection. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 1, please. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18. Again, God in his word communicates that you and I can have access to this knowledge, that we can have great understanding of what this power is that we have within as born-again ones. The eyes, verse 18, 118 in Ephesians, the eyes of your understanding, the Greek word for understanding is cardia, which is heart. The eyes of your heart, out of the heart come the issues of life. So it's in our heart, the eyes of our heart being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe. Wow! What a great desire to know these things. And what else does it say? The power, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe? According to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He what? Raised Him from the dead. Raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And hath put all things under His feet and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. Boy, what God wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead is a big deal. And for us to learn and understand and appreciate these things and then have that understanding in our heart, then we can walk with great power. We can walk with great confidence in believing. Let's go to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. This is referring to Abraham, verse 20. Talking about Abraham not staggering at the promise of God through unbelief. Okay, you there? Verse 20, chapter 4 of Romans. He staggered not, Abraham staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith or believing, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what He had promised He was able also to perform, and therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on Him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our what? Justification. Therefore, 5:1, shouldn't have been a chapter there. Therefore, being justified by believing, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by believing unto this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Boy, I tell you, that resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ and what it's made available, that we can be justified before God. And if you're justified, you're at peace. If the police officer pulls you off the side of the road and it's 55 miles an hour and you're going 60, how at peace are you in your heart? Not too peaceful. If you're going 50 miles an hour, are you at peace? Yeah, nothing wrong with me. I'm justified. I didn't break any laws. So the reality that God has set up for us as born-again ones because of what Jesus Christ did and completed and accomplished, we are justified before God. And that's why we have peace with Him. As we go to God, and we talked about, you know, going to God, God encouraged us in the manifestations to go to Him. We should go to Him with great peace in our heart because we have been justified, not by our works, but by what Jesus Christ accomplished for us and that God had raised Him from the dead. It's a great reality. Chapter 8 in Romans. Chapter 8 in Romans. Verse 9. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. And how do you know you're in the Spirit rather than the flesh? Well, let's read on. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of God, Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken or make alive your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Man, pretty neat to be born again of God's Spirit, huh? Wow. And it's that Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead that dwells in you. So we have that great power resident within, that power of the resurrection dwells within us. Therefore, my brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. What has the flesh got you compared to the Spirit? For if you live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption or sonship, whereby we cry, Holy One, O great Holy One, somewhere up in the heavens. Is that what we cry as children of God? No, we cry, Daddy, Daddy, Abba Father. That's our relationship with God. It's a Daddy, Daddy thing. Okay? What a great thing God has done via the resurrection of His Son and giving the gift of Holy Spirit that we can have this kind of relationship as a child with the Father, whereby He says we can call Him Daddy, Abba Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. We are the children of God. Greatest reality. Verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He did predestinate, or the word predestinate is the word ordained, to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did ordain, He also called, and whom He called, He also justified, and whom He justified them, He also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? How could you not, you know, what negative things could you say that if not being called and justified, glorified, foreknown, ordained? Man, we have all these things. What shall we then say to these things? If God could be for us, who could be against us? Man, we've been called by God. We've been preordained, or, you know, we're ordained of God. We're justified. So who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son. God did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all. How shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Isn't that wonderful? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who is also making intercession for us. Is He going to condemn us? No way would He condemn us. No way. No way. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? You know, as it is written, it says in the Bible, we are, you know, for thy sake, we're like killed all the day long, for all, we're accounted as sheep for the slaughter. It says it in the Bible, it's written there, this is how it is. Not for the born again ones, nay, in all these things, we're more than conquerors through Him that loved us. We're more than conquerors. If you're more than a conqueror and you go into a battle, and you're more than a conqueror in that battle, you're going to bring more out than when you came in. We're more than conquerors. For I am persuaded. And man, this is where I want to get. I think all of us, when we see the great truths of God's Word unfolded, and we see the love that provided a son who would walk perfectly and then submit himself to such a horrible death, and then God would raise him from the dead like this, and we would see this great love story and understand and appreciate it, we can be persuaded too, huh? I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing separate us from the love of God. Wow. What a great truth and reality. I would like to close by going back to 1 Peter chapter 1. Let's just reread this wonderful verse here with the thankfulness in our hearts that we are born again of God's Spirit, that this is a reality to us greater than any other reality that we know. 1 Peter 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. God is happy to have you born again of His Spirit. He is happy to have you as His children. He is very blessed to have seen His Son walk the perfect walk and die for you, and then to be able to raise Him from the dead so that finally you and I could be the desires of His heart, His children, His son, His daughter, so that He could have fellowship with us forever and ever for eternity. So let us be blessed. Let us be happy. If God's blessed, we should be too. We should be very thankful and excited about the relationship that we have as sons and daughters of God, and live it more and more with our Daddy, God Almighty. Let's continue to grow within the one body of Christ, living the love of God. Okay? Okay, so Heavenly Father, sure grateful and thankful for the realities that have made available this relationship that we have as Your sons and daughters, that it is real, that it's true, and that within this relationship we can walk with great power, that we can walk with great deliverance, great healing, Father, that our needs can be met in so many wonderful ways. And Father, as we do this within the one body of Christ, within the family here, that we can love one another, we can do Your word, and we can encourage one another and bless each other and see and help each other so that we can see more and more the power of God in manifestation in everyone's life. So I pray for Your people here, for their wonderful hearts to receive Your word, to believe it, and to walk out on it. And I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Amen. God bless you.